Welcome to the Gathering Place of All Nations podcast. We're so glad you're joining us today. Our prayer is that this message encourages your heart, strengthens your faith, and helps you hear what God is speaking right now.
Okay. Well, open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Literally, I have two messages here. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But if you, last week we did part one of giving, and we talked about Abraham and the story of Jehovah Jireh, when Abraham brought his son to lay him down and sacrifice him, and God stayed his hand, and the faith of Isaac. In a few minutes, we're going to get into the story of Isaac. I said we're going to carry on today during that. But just remember, Isaac was willing to lay down on that altar. His dad was over 100, probably 110, 120. All right? Isaac's probably a teenager or into his 20s, maybe even 30s. So Abraham was no match for Isaac. If Isaac didn't want to lay down on that altar. Have you ever tried to get your teenager to do something they didn't want to do? All right. So Isaac, we're going to hear from Isaac this morning in just a minute. But I want to, this is the second part. It'll be the last part. We'll probably do one or two more messages on giving, the different types of giving. But that'll be in a few months from now. But in verse 6, it says this about offerings. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Now, this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Verse 7. Let each of you, each one do just as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, every now and then, in my personal devotions, I don't do it preaching too often, but I like to go to the Passion Translation. And let's just go there and let's read these verses here. It says it very differently. It's the same message, but it says it in a modern way. Verse 6 says, that is why we appeal to Titus. Somehow there is a problem here. I'm in chapter 8, that's why. All right? Chapter 8's full. I don't think we're going to get there. I wanted to go into chapter 8. It's all about giving, but that's not where I'm right at this moment. Verse 6 of chapter 9. So here's my point. All right, it just got that modern conversation. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. How many people would like to get an abundant harvest? That doesn't that just kind of wake it up a little bit? At verse 6, it's powerful, but boom. And then verse 7. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. All right, I'm going to get you to say that, okay? Generous. Hilarious generosity. Okay. See what happens when you don't read it? Okay. All right. But look down what it says here. I'm going to continue in the Passion. All right. Verse 9. Just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him. Why can we give hilariously? Why can we give extravagantly? Because we trust God. When we trust God, he is our source. And that's what we're going to get into a little bit here. this morning with Isaac. But it says here, he who trusts in him, because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. All right? There's so much. You know what? I'm going to come back to chapter 8 in a few months. But let's slip over into Genesis 26. So God loves a cheerful, generous, extravagant, hilarious giver. So slip over to Genesis 26. Now, I have been loving winter camp. Anybody been loving the messages? Now, Dr. Russ's message last night was so powerful. Ashley on Friday night, being hungry, stir up the hunger. I'm telling you, Russ last night says, what are you coming to camp for? What are you listening for? When I go to a conference, what do? I come in with expectations. Well, last night, God was speaking to me about, well, what am I expecting, all right? We're flying down, all right? And Victoria, just by the way, she's speaking Thursday night, all right? And now those folks up in Aurelia, you'll have to watch it on replay because you got our pastor Monica and Tom in Aurelia this week, all right? And then the following week, we have Donna Parishin. And a week this Monday night, you got how about Pastor Evangelist Mario, and then Donna will be with us two Mondays from now. Aren't these folks doing a great job on the announcements? Isn't this great? I'm loving it. Okay. Well, Glenn on Tuesday night kind of preached my message. And I'm just going to say a couple of things so people say, well, you copied Glenn. And says, no, well, actually, I told you I was going to speak on this last Sunday. Without knowing, Glenn was speaking. And so, but let me just highlight a couple of things that Glenn said, and then we're going to unpack chapter 26. And we're going to read different parts. I'm just going to summarize Glenn's message, and then we're going to unpack this chapter in a little bit more detail. We have Abimelech. Chapter 26, verse 9, called Isaac and said, behold, certainly she is your wife. How is it that you say she's my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. And so Glenn comes out and says, this is a year of things being exposed. And if you've been watching and whatnot, I'm not going to go into anything right now, but there has been some stuff, even in January, come out. In the church at large community, all right. It's a year for us to put our ducks in a row. I mean, I'm talking. If I got one finger going, I got three coming back. All right. It's time to repent. It's time to get serious with the Lord. It's time to get hungry. All right. In verse 12, this is the key verse right here, and Glenn spoke on it, and I'm going to speak on it two or three times today. Now, Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold harvest, and the Lord blessed him. Now, one thing to realize that this chapter is not necessarily all chronological order. Oh, God blessed him, he reaped, then he dug some wells, and then he did this. No, the wells might have come earlier. The idea is that these are things that happened. It's just a summary verse of what happened. But it says in that same year. In that same year, there's a hundredfold in a famine. If you look at verse 1, now there was a famine in the land. When famines happen, there are situations. We can think of at least a couple of famines in the land that's in the scripture. One was when Abraham, his dad, and the Lord told him, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. All right? Abraham was blessed. And so Abraham obeyed God on a number of different situations, but he also obeyed God by going to Egypt. It was God's will for Abraham to go to Egypt, but not for his son Isaac. All right? And so, finishing up a couple of things, in verse 13, all right, look what it says. And the man, that's Isaac, became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very, very rich. Or as Glenn said, Isaac prospered, and then he prospered some more, and then he prospered abundantly even more. How many people like that idea of prospering? All right? Do you know that in the greatest times of, even in economic times, people lose a fortune, but people make fortunes? All right? And to the stock crash of 29, there are many people lost everything, but there was many millionaires and billionaires or whatever. Same with 2008. A lot of people lost when the crash of 2008 happened. A lot of people lost a lot of their wealth, but a lot of people made a lot of money. You see, if we're listening to the voice of God, He can tell us what to do. And that's really what, if I just said this, we could go home. If we'll listen to the voice of God, He is going to lead and protect us. He's able to take care of us. And we're not, you know, in Matthew chapter 6, it says, do not worry. All right, and it talks about the lilies of the field and the birds and how God takes care of them. Won't He take care of us also? And so worry is not something God wants us to do. All right, and then Glenn went on, he talked about the wells that we see here in the chapter. And the problem is that the world has come in and put their trash into our wells. The wells would be like our churches, sources of water. And our churches have become polluted with the things of the world. You know, that's where we were in 1 John, where it says, it talks about the world, not the eyes of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Do not let the world tempt you, and you need to disengage from the world. And so we need to get these wells unstopped. And this is a year. Glenn said that God's going to remove the trash from the church so the wells can flow with springs of living water, and then the world will come and drink and be refreshed and be saved. And that's where we want to see. And we've often said, right across the road, now John and Janice are down in Florida right now, sadly missing all this nice cold weather. And did you know down in Pensacola, most of the week it's been below zero? Yeah. Yeah. Pensacola is up on the panhandle. This is really not the time to go, although it's warmer than here. All right. So, but anyway, in their house, John's house, his parents' house, which was right across the creek from here, it's where Jeremy Sinnott gave his heart to the Lord, was right across the creek. If you know, Tom, I think, could do it. I don't know if I could do it. He could throw a football and hit the house from here, all right? I think I could get it across the creek, but I don't think I could hit the house, all right? And but they would have Friday night house meetings, and they would have, they'd have 40, 50, 60 kids in the house, all from the high school. This local high school had just shut down here. And for 5 to 8 years, they kept having these meetings. They started a singing group, a worship group, and they traveled over throughout North America just from this well. And we've been talking about redigging this well. We're believing that God is going to do something. Amen. All right, so let me just get right into that. So that's what Glenn said And I agree with it. And so here we go. Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. All right. We're living in a difficult time, right? Uncertain time. I said that when I gave my prophetic word, I said we're entering a year and a season that we've never been in before. You know, I was just reading some economic news earlier this morning, and even in the last week, there has been much financial turmoil in the world on every front. Bitcoin, stocks, every kind of financial barometer you can think of. I can't remember all the details, but it's been a rough week or two. And some of you out there know more than I do about this whole area. But we're living in uncertain times, and it's very volatile, to say the least. And so how can God cause us to prosper in these difficult times? Well, first of all, prosperity doesn't always mean finances. All right? It can be what it says in Jude. I pray that your soul would prosper. All right? Being in good health. Seeing your children come to know the Lord. All right? Able to move and breathe and just having life. There's a lot of ways God can prosper you, not just financially. I'm telling you, maybe you're not making millions, but if you're all your children are going on for the Lord and your grandkids, that's greater than any kind of financial blessing.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And so God has a way to bless us, even when it looks dark. Look what it says here, verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that occurred in the days of Abraham. And so Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. And so we have Abraham's famine, but you also have when Joseph was in the land. Pharaoh gets a dream. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Prepare. So there's right there three stories of famine, and there's probably more in the Bible, and each one of them did something different. God worked differently in each famine. Abraham went down to Israel, to Egypt. Isaac, as we're going to be in the next verse, we're going to hear, was told to stay in the land, and Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt, and somehow God was able to raise him up and get him in position to save his household and family. So there's different ways God can move in different times, in different scenarios, all right? And so when the economy is going bad, when the stock markets tick or dips, when interest rates rise, when inflation is through the roof, all right, most people assume that their lives are going to do the same. And in the natural, it probably does happen. All right, but God's kingdom doesn't operate according to the world system. We don't tie our cart to the world system. We don't. It doesn't mean that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. God has a way of blessing us. And so Isaac here sowed during a year of famine, of economic difficulty, and he reaped 100-fold. Now, reaping 100-fold would be great. All right, let's say you take $10,000 and you put it in the stock market, and the next year you got, I don't know, what's 100-fold of 10,000? Is that 10,000 times 10,000, or is it a million? Or I'm not sure. Lou would know. Lou, what's that? $1 million. You know, now, even in a good year, that would be a good year. But this is when people are going south. People are leaving the Canaan to go other places where there's some water, where they can grow, where they can thrive. And what does God tell them? Listen to this. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared to him. Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. So now he is in the place in verse 1, Gir, which most of us know where Gaza is now because of some of the unrest in the last little while. Gir is just at the bottom end of modern day Israel, Gaza, and just near the border of Egypt, just so you have an idea. So it basically is the last town before you go into the desert and you leave Egypt back in Isaac's days. Okay, sojourn in the land and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars, and will give your descendants to all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. All right, and then verse 23, just this is a while later, it says this, the covenant is renewed. Verse 23, then he went up from there to Beersheba. That's the place of the well. All right, that's what Beersheba means, Victoria. And he stood over that well, and we looked down into that well a number of years ago. Verse 24, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you. I will multiply your descendants. And for the sake of my servant Abraham. And so he built an altar there, and his servants went out and dug another well, and they come back and they exclaim, we found water. Right there in verse 32, we have found water. Water is so precious in Israel, all right? And so when the markets are bad, when people start worrying about their jobs, about their savings, providing for their families, their businesses, that would seem like a famine to us in our modern day situation. But these circumstances don't limit God. God lives outside of time. He lives out of the world, outside of the world system. God is able to bless us super and abundantly, more than we can ask or think. So now what did Isaac do? Well, he planted seed during a famine. People around him are not planting. There's no rain. That's why there's a famine. No crops growing. Why would he? God didn't tell him to plant. He just said to stay, and I'll bless you. You know, sometimes you need to be listening to God, not just obeying one thing, but be open to other strategies. Maybe there's a place you can invest. Maybe there's something you can do. Maybe there's a product you can bring to market. Maybe there's another scenario. All right, and so he obeyed God, but he planted. Now, most of us think, well, I guess God just supernaturally caused rain to fall so his crops would grow, and that might have happened. But then all his other neighbors would have been blessed too, and maybe that happened. But there, before I finish the message here, I want to share with you one insight that I've gotten, and maybe it'll help us in these times coming ahead. Maybe that might be something that we can think outside the box, that we can obey God and still listen to his voice and still be creative in this time. All right? Maybe we're not supposed to be doing the same thing over and over and over again. Maybe God wants us to do something a little bit different, and he'll bless us in that way. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to gain wealth. All right? He gives you the power to gain prosperity. He doesn't just drop it from the skies. All right? He gives you the wisdom. He gives you the power. He gives you the ability to work. Now, there's Maeve always likes, for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. All right, so in the giving or in the expecting, in the area of giving and whatnot, there's 2 miles of ditch. There's two different ways that we can kind of think. You know, when we're going through some hard times, a famine, a difficult time financially, all right, we can either try to manipulate the economy, you know, we can try to get a loan, we can try to work with the bank, we can try to max out our credit cards, we can try to get 3, 4, 5 jobs. I mean, we can try, and that's not necessarily a wrong thing, but it might not be fully what God wants us to do. Or, and this next one, I've done both of these. So if you've done both of these, all right, that's okay. The next one is that we just passively, Lord, can you send money from heaven? Lord, you know where we are. And there's nothing wrong with that. God can open up a way. And I had one prophet speak to me. His name is Jeff Johns, not our John Jeffs, but he's from the States. And he prophesied over me. He says, there's a funnel over you. He says, and there's a cloud of finances and blessings. All you have to do is take, I looked at it like a tornado in reverse, all right? And it was like this funnel. I just had to kind of position this funnel over God's blessings, and it was just going to come down, all right? And I've never forgotten that. And I do believe that God can get finances to us supernatural ways. We've heard of the time some people have been in a service and they've gone. I remember Joshua Mills told a story, I think of somebody in New Zealand. And they were in the meeting, they went the next day, and their bank account had 32,000, I guess, New Zealand dollars. And they went and said, there's a mistake here. And they checked it all out. No, there's no mistake. And this lady was like, how could that be? I don't have $32,000 in my account, but there it is. I got their telephone bills, their heating bills have been paid off supernatural. We've had that happen once. All right? There are different ways that God can show up miraculously. And so what it means is, I think we need to have a little bit of both. Don't just be passive in your prayer, but also to be active, asking God, what can I do for my household, for my family, for my situation? All right? Pray, but then be active. Do something. And that's where we need to be. Isaac didn't just sit around and wait for rain. This is very, very interesting. He planted it in faith, and he expected God somehow, either naturally or supernaturally, to bring forth a harvest. All right, Psalm 78, verse 41, it says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. We see that over and over and over again when Israel was in the wilderness. They put God to the test. And they weren't fully obeying God, and we need to allow God to work in and through us. Amen. Obedience is the key for an opportunity for God to bless us. So let's just unpack that for a little bit. I'm on page 2 of my notes. I got 8 more pages. So there might be a part 2 to this message sometime, but we'll skip over some of this. All right, we need to obey God's word. When we put God's word to the test, something absolutely happens. He can bless us no matter what the situation is. I look at Genesis 8:22. These are principles after the flood. Noah built an altar, and God said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat. Well, we certainly know the cold's still around. And summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So for the rest of mankind, this is a principle that's going to happen. All right? Seed time and harvest. Isaac knows that verse. He goes, he knows these principles. And so we need to be like Isaac, that we can sow in faith even when the world is in trouble. Why do I say that? In part, we shouldn't let our giving to the church or other charities be determined by the situation in the world. We need to be obedient to what God says. If God says to give X amount, don't give more than X amount. But if he says X amount, don't give less than it. Hear the voice of God for yourself. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what Scripture is, and I'm giving you examples of who else. And if you do that, I have found that God, you can never outgive God. I proved that. I've done this, I've done that, you know. And I told you last week how the first time I gave $1,000, it wasn't my last time. There's been a number of times since. I remember when Russ came, and I don't like talking about giving too much, but sometimes we need to do for testimonies. Well, Russ was at our place first Christmas. He came in the fall of 2000, and he was staying with us, and he's driving home, and we just felt we needed to give him $1,000. I think it was 1,000 American. And it really, because he didn't have much at that point. He didn't have anything to go home. He's seeing his family and loved ones and grandkids. And so we were able to bless him. All right. But Russ has been a blessing to us in so many different ways. All right. God supplies our needs. All right. And so hearing the voice of God is absolutely essential. But hearing the voice of God in every generation, Abraham heard the voice of God go down to Egypt. Isaac heard the voice of the Lord, stay in the land, I'll bless you. Joseph, all right, heard the voice of the Lord. How did Joseph hear the voice of the Lord? He had two dreams, remember? Those dreams got him a little bit of trouble. But those dreams met him for years afterwards, and they came to pass. And his family was blessed because he heard from God. When this happened, this famine happened, Isaac moved down to Gerar. He stayed in the land, but he was right on the edge. And he was right on the edge with the Philistines as well. And God somehow blessed him. And the Philistines, the leaders of the Philistines, saw that. And they built and they made a covenant between them. In verse 26 to 34, you can read. And they go out. And they dig some wells, all right? And God allowed him to find water each single time. But then there was strife. If you read the stories, time doesn't permit me to do that. But 2-3 times, they dug a well. And the Philistines came around, and they said, no, this is ours. You're a foreigner. You're a stranger in the land here. This is not your well. And so instead of quarreling, instead of arguing, instead of fighting, instead of having a contest between the two peoples, he just said, take it, go ahead. Well, they moved down the road a mile, 5 miles, 20 miles. They dug another well. God blessed them. They found another source of water. Finally, after they dug 2, 3, 4 wells, they were taken from them. They found water, and they were blessed. And there was peace between the two groups. I'm going right away from my notes because I want to wrap up here in about 5 minutes. One thing that is very interesting, what I have discovered this week, and I'm going to show this as a possibility of creativity and technology. Question is, where did the rain come from? Where did the water come from to irrigate the crops. Abraham was told to go down to Egypt. And when he was down in Egypt, he likely saw, because what happened? Egypt, when you see each time they would go down to Egypt, why Egypt? It was just as arid as anyone else, but they had the Nile River. And every year the Nile River would overflow and water the land. All right? And they likely learned how to irrigate, how to run water from the Nile River in to water all the crops. And so they probably saw some. Have you ever been? I've been to Israel. I've seen these great big long. Have you been even just up north? You see these great big watering systems on the farms. And they got wheels and they water. I mean, it's amazing how they can go through this huge piece of property and go up and down and water and everything. Well, when Abraham was in Egypt, he probably saw the irrigation of the Egyptians and thought, probably 70 years old or a little more, says, well, I'll never use that. But his son Isaac saw it too. And when it came around, he came back, and when God told him to stay in the land, he's saying, okay, I'm going to plant seed. God's going to bless me. When, how can I get the water here? It might have been a supernatural rain. It might have been that. But it might have been, he says, we found water. I know how they did it in Egypt. We can irrigate. And he would teach his people how to irrigate so they would have land. And it says here in verse 13, it says here that he became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. You know, when God gives you a strategy, he can bless you absolutely beyond what you can imagine. You know, we have friends, minister friends of ours. I won't mention their name. Some of you know who it is. They were pastoring 20, 30 years ago in Manitoba, a smaller community in Manitoba. And praise God. Is that the Lord speaking? But anyway, she got involved with this company and got the Canadian rights for it. And lo and behold, she built a business, a multi-million dollar business. They had to move down to Dallas, and we've been through their warehouse. The warehouse is huge. Amazon's right beside it, and it's equal size of Amazon, or almost the same size. All right. Powerful man of God. He's spoken in our church a couple of times. I'm talking that when you hear God, they're still ministering. They're not pastoring. They're still ministering. They're traveling the world talking to people about Jesus. All right. And they're able to bless people. And so God can exceedingly, what's that verse? Exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think, bless you. So maybe the area that you're in is kind of drying up. Well, maybe there's something that God can tweak and move around, and boom, you're back up and you're soaring. The wind comes under, the Holy Spirit comes under you. He can lift you up. And this, I'm believing that there's people in this church that God is going to bless supernaturally. And I like what it says in verse 12. And this year, the year he planted, I'm coming to agree with Glenn, all right, Garland. This year, 2026, can we believe, even in the midst of some really difficult times, there's going to be some people in our circle here at this church and others that we know that are going to be prosperous. Going to be prosperous. Maybe you say, well, I don't have a job right now. Well, that's not too hard for God. All right? God can prosper. And I'm not speaking willy-nilly here. I'm saying that this is possible. But God can meet and keep you, see every bill paid. And I know, trust me, I know, like most of you, what is being prophesied, predicted, and stuff that's going on right now. There's a lot of uncertainty, but we don't put our effort onto the financial and the marketplace, and our work. Our dependence is on God. Amen. And I think I'm just going to finish the message right there. That God is able to meet your needs, all right? My God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory. Now, I want to let you in on a little secret. There's never been a stock market crash in heaven. There's never been a recession in heaven. God's not sitting there with the Father and the Holy Spirit saying, "Well, son, I just looked at the books last night. I don't know. We're going to have to cut back here a little bit." You know? It doesn't happen. There is an abundance. Now let me say, this is a wild idea. You know, our country and America and other places, all right, when they don't have enough money, what do? They print some more. That's how inflation comes. All right. Well, in heaven, they don't have to print it. They just have to speak it. Let there be an increase. All right. God spoke the world into being. All right. He can do exceedingly abundant. Come on. Come on. And so I just want to leave with you this whole idea of giving. You cannot give God. All right. You need to give according to what God tells you. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. And we'll get into some more of that probably 2 or 3 months from now about the 4 different types of giving. But the reason we say that is not just so the church can be blessed. All right? We're stretched a little bit. Anybody in their own personal finances stretched a little bit? All right? We're there. When we come to AGM meeting, we'll give you all the facts and figures. That's not purposeful right now. But we're like you guys. We're believing that God is not only the come through God, He's the more than conqueror God, and He can bless us and bless you in so many different ways in your families. Amen. So Lord, I just thank you for each person here. I pray, oh God, that regardless of what it looks like in the natural, God is able to go over and above what we're praying. I pray for creative ideas. If somebody's kind of in a rut, if anybody is having some difficulties in the business that you're in, I'm just hearing this. God says, reinvent yourself. I know that's speaking to somebody. Reinvent yourself. You don't have to keep pumping when that water seems to be drying up. He says, go dig another well. Go dig another well. I'm going to show you where the water is. There's water. Maybe you've dug some wells, you've had some jobs, you've had some businesses, and the enemy and recession and whatever, they've kind of stopped them up. God says, it's okay, go ahead. I'm with you. Go dig another well. Go ahead. Plant your crops. Come on. I'm going to be with you. Be encouraged today. Strike out afresh, anew. Talk to God. Yes, supernatural, He can provide. And we need to believe that God is going to supernaturally provide. We've seen it here in our church and in our lives. And He can also give us creative ideas, strategies, wisdom. What to do, where to go, who to speak to, who not to speak to. So Lord, I just pray that you would I just see like a 3D, but it's actually probably a 5-dimensional chessboard. And God is moving our lives on this chessboard. He says, I got you covered. I got you covered. I have a way where there seems to be no way. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. And so we're going to have an altar call this morning. And if you're in a situation where you need a financial breakthrough, whether you need a new direction, you need work, your business is drying up, whatever it is, or maybe everything's going good and you'd like to see it go better, that you'd like to see the increase, a 30, 60, 100-fold increase. We're going to have an altar. We're going to encourage you to put God to the test, to trust God in tithing and giving this year, and see if the God of heaven, the God of more than enough, will meet your needs this year. Amen. Amen.